Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 17. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who are far off and those who are near. Our world is a world of differences. There are political differences that result in war, divisions, and strife, both in America and around the world. There are social differences in areas like homosexuality, abortion, and different ways of living. These differences cause division. There are differences in the home. Sometimes there is fighting between spouses, between children, between parents, and between one another, between extended members of the family. And these differences translate into divisions. Sadly, there's also differences in the church, differences in styles of worship, doctrinal beliefs, types of music, dress codes, and countless other differences cause divisions in the church. In this chapter, Paul is attempting to teach us that in Christ, all of our differences are put to death. While the world may fight their wars, society may argue over their different agendas, and homes may be divided, the church is to be a place where unity and peace should prevail. In Christ, there is a oneness that brings all believers together on common ground of faith in Jesus Christ. Having told us in verses 1 through 12 about the richness of our past and our lost condition, Paul tells us here in verse 13 that we who are far off are brought near by the blood of Christ. You who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. I would remind you that this section of chapter 2 is dealing with the body of Christ. It is dealing with the fact that the body of Christ is made up of both redeemed Jews and Gentiles. These two groups were the avowed enemies of one another. We saw that in verse 11, where it said, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, you were at one time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We were diametrically opposed to each other. The differences between the Jew and the Gentile are driven home in those verses. And yet, verse 13 gives us the glorious news that Christ, through the shedding of his blood, has reached out to those who were lost in sin and has brought us near to God, Jews and Gentiles. Jews and Gentiles are now one in Christ. This world, my friend, is divided into two groups of people. Those that are in Christ, without Christ, and those who are in Christ. That is it. You're either in Christ or you're without Christ. There is nothing else. You are either in or you're out. The passage before us today, Paul teaches us that in Christ, neither Jew nor Gentile, only those in Christ and those without Christ. Paul wants us to know that in Christ, those who were formerly at war with Christ, with God, have been brought near. The peace treaty has been signed. God has made peace with rebellious men and women and boys and girls. We have peace both with God, and in our text, we are to have peace with men. Paul tells us that Christ is our peace. There's only people you hear all the time. Peace, peace, peace. And yet, people try to achieve peace without the Prince of Peace himself. Christ himself is our peace. The only way that you can have peace is through Jesus Christ. In Ephesians, in Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." There is only one way to have peace, and that is with the Prince of Peace. When Paul says he is our peace, he's telling us that Jesus Christ is the ground for peace, the only ground for peace, and it is the ground of peace both for Jew and Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're white, if you're black, if you're Asian, if you're Latino. There's only one way to have peace with God Almighty, and that is through Jesus Christ. You're either in Christ or you're without Christ. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 12 and 13. Notice that at that time you were without Christ. That's the beginning of verse 12. Verse 13, "But now in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Notice, without Christ or in Christ. That is it. That is all that there has to do. The only thing that matters in this life, are you in Christ or without Christ? That's what it comes down to. How do you think that you can approach God? The Jews, they could never earn peace with God through their rituals, their sacrifices, their attempts at keeping the law. Regardless of what they did, they'd still be sinners in the sight of God. And by the same token, the Gentiles had no way to even approach God. So they had no hope of securing peace with God through any means. The Jew couldn't earn peace by the keeping of the law, nor their rituals, nor their sacrifices. And the Gentiles, it says, no hope without God in the world. These are some serious verses. When people think, oh, well, God loves everybody. Everybody got a chance. Everybody, God is this cosmic godfather just sitting there looking to indulge humanity. This is serious stuff. This cuts the whole race of humans down to without Christ or in Christ. When people ask about all these different religions, well, what about Islam? And what about Buddhism? And what about Hinduism? And what about Taoism and all these other isms? At the end of the day, you're either in Christ or you're without Christ. That is it. There's nothing else to do. People think, oh, well, I'll keep the law. Oh, I'm a pretty good person. What the law could not do, what the sacrifices could not accomplish, what works of the flesh could not do, Christ did. Christ accomplished salvation for men and women on the cross. Notice, without Christ, no hope, without God in the world, but now in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's it. There's no other way to God. It's only by the blood of Christ. He has earned salvation for men or women. It wasn't the law that's going to save you. It's not sacrifices. It's not good works. It's only Christ. We're told that Jesus has broken down the wall of partition. Notice verse 14 of chapter 2 of Ephesians. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Separated. Separated from God. Separated from one another. The races separated from one another. Christ has broken down the wall of partition, the wall of separation. That phrase broken down means to dissolve something coherent into parts, to destroy. And dying, Christ brought some things to an abrupt end. Notice what he destroyed when he died. First of all, he destroyed the social wall. Paul mentions the middle wall of partition. This refers to the wall that stood between the court of the Gentiles and the court of Israel in the ancient temple. This wall was about 4 foot tall with several openings. Archaeologists have recovered a sign that once hung on that wall. In fact, history teaches us that the same sign hung beside every entrance into the Jewish area of the temple. Those signs were written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And the signs said this: no foreigner may enter within the barricade which surrounds the sanctuary and the enclosure. Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death. If you cross that wall of partition, you are going to die. You would be put to death. The sign was symbolic of the division that existed between the Jew and the Gentile. They were on opposite sides of a great social wall, and there was no common ground between them. When Christ died, he dismantled that wall, and he brought the Jew and the Gentile together in himself. Once again, in himself, the social walls are broken down in Christ. You're either in Christ or you are with our Christ. For those who do not know Jesus Christ, those old walls, they still exist. They still exist. The separation is still there between the Western Wall and the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The Gentiles and the Jews still fight over that area. Still, the Jews came to the ancient wall to pray and to insert prayers written on tiny slips of paper into the cracks in the stones. You go to Jerusalem, you see the Jew there in their traditional garments, their robes, scriptures, and leather boxes on their foreheads and their forearms. People are required to cover their heads before they approach the wall. Those that came to the wall to pray for the Jews and for the peace of Jerusalem, they have to cover their heads. Jews come in behind the Gentiles as they enter. They pray over the spots where the quote-unquote Gentile dogs have dared touch the sacred wall. Those divisions, they still exist today. Jew and Gentile separated. People separated all over the world, Jews and Gentiles, different races of people. Blacks and whites at each other's throat. Asians, Latinos, wars and rumors of wars. North and South, East and West. Different political systems, different social wars. But for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, they have discovered that all the walls of divisions have been torn down forever. And in Christ is neither Jew nor Gentile. There's only the believer and the unbeliever. You are either in Christ or you without Christ. That doesn't leave room for anything else. You're in Christ or you're out of Christ. Notice a couple of powerful verses. Colossians 3:11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, free, but Christ is all and in all. You're either in Christ or without a Christ. Where do you find yourself today? It's the most important thing in life. Where will you be the day you die? Will you be found in Christ or without Christ? You're either made peace with God through Christ or you still at war with Him. There's no middle ground. People say to me sometimes, "Oh, Bill, I'm not against God. I've never done nothing against God. Why would God be mad at me? Why are you talking about peace and war?" Because that's what the scripture says. You're either in Christ or you're outside of Christ. If you're in Christ, He has made peace. He Himself is our peace. You're either in Christ or out of Christ. Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. Notice again, it's either in Christ or out of Christ. Let me say this. If you're in Christ, it doesn't mean you lose your national, religious, social, or sexual identity in Christ. It simply means that no person has any advantage over any other person. In Christ, there's only believer and unbeliever. So the bottom line is this. You need to seriously examine your prejudices a little more carefully. Because you're better than no one else except in the eyes of Jesus. You are better than no one else. No one else is better. It's only in Christ or out of Christ. He is our judge. Christ is the one that destroys the social walls. We're not to have all these social walls up if you are in Christ. I'm not saying that you should have them if you're without Christ, but without Christ, you don't have the ability to love one another. You may have something that you think is love, but you cannot even love one another without Christ. Not only is He our peace, He's the one that gives us the ability to love one another. He destroys the social wall. Not only the social wall, He destroys the spiritual wall, which is the most important. Not the social wall, but the spiritual wall. Verse 15, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body to the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. That is the ultimate wall that has to be destroyed. Enmity with God. Enmity. Your enemy. You are an enemy of God outside of Christ. People fail to realize that. People think that God loves everybody. And He loves everybody in the world. You're either at peace with God or you're an enemy of God. Having abolished in the flesh the enmity. That means the hostility. The source of that enmity, the hostility between the Jew and the Gentile, rested in the law of commandments contained in the ordinances. The Jews despised the Gentiles because they dishonored and disregarded the law of God. The Gentiles despised the Jews because they sought to keep the law. The Jews, with their strict dietary laws, their laws of dress, and their laws governing every aspect of their social and religious lives, hated the Gentiles who lived outside the law and did as they pleased. The law stood as a great wall of division between the two groups. While there was great hostility between the Jew and the Gentile and between all kinds of people for all kinds of reasons. And for that matter, the greatest hostility existed between God and men. All men, regardless of whether Jew or Gentile, are sinners and stand guilty before a holy God. I hear it all the time. People say, oh, he's not too bad, she's not too bad. You got to know their heart. What do you really know? Well, this is what the scripture says about a man and women and boys and girls. Romans 3, verse 10. There's none righteous, no, not one. None righteous. You who think you're righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. You who think you understand the meaning of life, you that think you understand God. There's none who seeks after God. That shoots a hole in all the seeker-friendly churches today. Seeker-sensitive, seeker-friendly. There's no seekers. There's none who seeks after God. But Bill, doesn't the scripture say, seek him and you'll find him? Seek and you shall find? Yeah, those that are in Christ. You seek him all the time. He tells you to seek him. But somebody that is an enemy of God cannot seek that God because he's an enemy of God. He's running the other way. He's hiding. Like Adam and Eve hid in the garden. They're hiding. None righteous, none who understands, none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. That's the condition of humanity. Jew, Gentile, black, white, Asian, Latino, boys, girls, men, women. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There's none who does good, no, not one. And in verse 17 in that same chapter, it says, and the way of peace they have not known. They have not known. Men and women, all guilty of violating the God of this universe. All guilty of breaking his law. All guilty of, quote unquote, breaking the golden rule. All guilty of sinning against your conscience, knowing what's right, knowing what's wrong. The only difference between men and women is how much you sinned. Not do you sin, how much you sinned. And one sin keeps you out of heaven. One sin gets you thrown out. One sin, unless you're in Christ. Romans 6, verse 23 tells us, for the wages of sin, notice, singular, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, notice, in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ or out of Christ, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, where do you find yourself today? The wages of sin, you're without Christ. The gift of God, eternal life, in Christ. You're either in Christ or without Christ. You're either in or you're out. Here is the thing the Jew never considered and what the Gentiles never knew. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. No one ever kept the law perfectly except Jesus Christ. And Christ took our sin and became a curse for us. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the law to do them. Christ became sin for us in order that we would become the righteousness of God. He has made peace. When Christ came and died on the cross, he tore down the social walls between Jews and Gentiles, and he tore down the spiritual wall between lost sinners and a holy God. It's one thing to be concerned about social issues, about blacks and whites and Asians and Latinos, basically, and everybody else fighting with one another, and wars and rumors of wars, and I'm better than you, and if you just did this, it's just nonstop. The social walls that are put up between people is the result of sin. And the wall that is up between men and women and the holy God, that wall has been brought down by Jesus Christ. And in Christ now, You can have peace with God. Just as the Lord took two people groups who were so opposite and so opposed to one another, it says he created a brand new person. He makes sin, he takes sinners and makes them into the body of Christ. As I said, you're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. There's no middle ground. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Notice verse 15 of Ephesians 2. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself, notice, so as to create in himself, he's created something, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Are you a new man? You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. In Christ or out of Christ. In Christ, our differences disappear. We're made right with God, apart from the deeds of the law. And not only made right with God, but that's true peace with one another. The only way to have true peace between different races is in Christ. In Christ, everything that stands between people is destroyed. In Christ, everything that stands between sinners and God is destroyed, which is the more important of the two. Paul says that Christ abolished in his flesh the enmity. That word abolished means to render inoperative, to deprive of force or power. In other words, by fully keeping the law of God, Christ fulfilled the law of God. Now Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Through his death, Jesus has rendered the law inoperative. It holds no claim over us any longer. We're free from its power to condemn. It serves the purpose of exposing our sins, as we find in Romans 7:7-9. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No. I had not known sin but by the law. If I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of sin. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. You have to die to you thinking that you can earn God's pleasure, God's smiling upon you, God's forgiveness. It's only found in one place. It doesn't matter how many vows you make, how many good works you do, how many rituals you keep. I was baptized, I had confirmation, I had communion, I went to the synagogue, I went to the mosque, I prayed five times a day, I pray all the time, I did this, I did that, I did the other thing. There's only peace with God one way. The law came in to serve as a teacher, to bring people to Christ, to show people their need of a sin. But the good news is this, but before faith came, we're kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ so that we might be justified by faith. It says in Romans 5:1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. But after that faith came, we're no longer under schoolmaster. For you all are the children of God by faith in Christ. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And in Christ there is no condemnation. In Christ. In him you're freed from the law, from trying to keep the law to be saved. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Let me end by reading the scripture. As I said, you are either in Christ or without Christ. You're either in or out. There's nothing else. People always want to know what the meaning of life is. That is the meaning of life. You are in Christ or you are out of Christ. There's nothing else. You can achieve all the fame, all the glory, all the money, all the prestige, all the things that you have dreamed of, and you're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. In Christ or out of Christ. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is noticed in Christ, he's a new creation. You're either in or you're out. He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The question is that true in your life? Is that true in your life? Are you a new creature? A new creation? Excuse me. A new creation. Have old things passed away? Have old things become new? Verse 18. Now all things are of God. Notice, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ. You're either in Christ or you're without Christ. He's reconciled us to himself through Christ. There's no other way to be reconciled to God. And now he's given us, children of God, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. To go out into the world and tell them that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. You're in Christ or without Christ. He was reconciling the world to himself. Jews, Gentiles, blacks, whites, Chinese, Latino, all races of people, not imputing their trespasses to them who has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He wasn't counting their sins against them, those that have come to Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Brothers and sisters, that's our job. That's why God has left us here. We're being conformed into the image of God, formed into the image of Christ, and we're to be ambassadors of his. Ambassadors of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, telling the world that they can be reconciled to God. They can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is reconciling the world to himself. And there's only one way to be reconciled to God, and that is through Christ. For he is our peace. For he made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that for this purpose, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Once again, in Christ. It's always in Christ. It's not apart from Christ. It's in Christ. You're in Christ or you're without Christ. And today, where do you find yourself? Are you in Christ? Then you have peace with God. If you are not in Christ, if you are without Christ in this world, it doesn't matter how much religion you have, what your social status is, what race of people you belong to, what religion that you belong to, if you are not in Christ, you are condemned. You are damned. You are headed straight for hell the moment that you die. As hard and as rude as that may sound to you, that is the reality of the situation. But God is reconciling the world to himself. Ambassadors gather together at the United Nations to discuss the politics of the world. Well, here is a minister of reconciliation sent from God, telling you who are listening today, that you can be reconciled to God through Christ. You're either in Christ or you're without Christ. If you're in Christ, you have eternal life, and you will spend that eternal life in heaven with God Almighty. because Christ has made peace between us and him. If you're without a Christ, you stand condemned. But the good news is there is a pardon for you. If you would simply repent, change your mind, and believe that Christ was reconciling the world to God. Reconciling the world to God through himself. I would invite you today to come and take that pardon. Today is a day of mercy. Today is the day of salvation. Where would you find yourself today? In Christ or without Christ?